Thank you. My name is Ephraim Becerra, and I work for USDA ARS, Stoneville, Mississippi. And I'll be talking about gene efficiency and some research progress you have made in the last 6 years in this project. Gene efficiency, is, as it pertains to this study, involves two components. The first component will be gene rate, which is measured in gram length per second, and the second component will be the gene stunt energy, which is measured in watt hour per kilogram of length. The objective of the project is to investigate the potential for developing a cotton breeding program for improved gene efficiency, which include both reduced net gene stunt energy usage and increased gene rate. The program started like in 2008 when I came on board, and Dr. Bill Meredith suggested that this is one area that needs attention, and that's why we started this. So this is a collaborative project between three groups of scientists. The first group will be geneticists and breeders, then the geners, which is led by the gening people, and then molecular scientists from New Orleans, USDA, with the ultimate goal of developing scientific understanding of gening rate and net gening stunt energy, and finally transfer these traits into adapted quality and good yielding cotton cultivars at the end of the day. So the research progress I'm going to report includes about five components, which we did in the last six years, and I'll be talking about this one by one. The first one is evaluation of cotton genotypes for gene rate and net gene stunt energy. This was logical because before we start any breeding program, we have to see how much genetic variability we'll have in the cultivator population. So we selected 46 conventional and transgenic genotypes, highly diverse. They include normal cotton, naked seed cotton, okra leaves, obsolete varieties, new varieties, an array across all the cotton varieties grown in the cotton belt at the moment. The cotton was gened in a tensor laboratory gene stand to evaluate gening energy requirements and gening rate, and the power consumed by the gene stand was measured and recorded with a Yokogawa power meter, and gening efficiency was based on measurements of gene stand energy and gening rate. So this is a picture of the power meter we used to measure the energy and the gening rate, and this meter was hooked to the here is a power meter, and this is hooked to the gene stunt here, and we feed the cotton right here about 350 grams of seed cotton at one time, and it continuously, as it genes, it continuously measures the rate and the energy. This study was completed in 2009, and the result was published in the Journal of Cotton Science in 2011. The results indicated that the 46 genotypes could be categorized into four distinct groups. The first group is the low net energy fast geners. 13 of them fell under this group, and this is basically the group we are very much interested in. And then the second group have fast geners, but they require high net gening energy. There were 10 of them in this. And the third one was a group that requires slow gening, but used only low net gene energy. The high net energy and slow geners, which are the worst types, included 17 of the genotypes. So we concluded there is a real genetic diversity between the cultivated cotton groups for these traits. Interesting thing we found was that 5% was negatively associated with gene rate, but positively associated with net gene stunt energy. This has implications because measuring the energy is not fun. To start with, you need 350 grams of seed cotton to measure to effectively measure the Gini threat and energy. So we're looking for something that you could positively associate with this threat that requires less labor, less amount of cotton, seed cotton that you can use. And we found that 1% was a very good candidate. 1%, you know, is first within the seed, within the lint, and the fuzzy seed, we weigh the fuzzy seed, then we delint it, we weigh it again, we take the difference, and make a percent out of that. That is what we call the 1%. Very easy to do. Overall, genotypes that gene faster and required less energy to gene had lower NAP size, NAP count, and short fiber content. So if you look at the correlations here, we did this across four different crosses. If you look at 1%, it was negatively correlated with gene rate. Here again, in the last cross also, is positively but negatively correlated with gene rate. But with net gene energy, you see, they are highly positively correlated across all the four crosses. And if you look at the traits, the quality traits, it is interesting because you see that the net gene energy is associated highly positively with fiber length and fiber strength. Again, the same thing here. With gene rate, net gene energy was negatively correlated along all these traits. So the point I wanted to pick out of this is the relationship with the 1% there, because we are going to use this trait as a selection criteria in the future. And the second achievement or second progress we made was on genetics of this trait, because we want to understand a little bit of the genetics, because it was like, if you look over the years, it was like a touch and go. You see people starting gene coefficients and they drop it. Nobody has taken it all the way through because of one reason or another. So we had to do some basic genetics, and we made two crosses. With the first one was Arkansas 93-17-26 with FiberMax 832 nectarless trait, and the second one is the JJ 1145 and Arkansas 9608NA. The reason we selected these parents was they're highly diverse for gene rate and net gene energy from our first study. The F2 from each cross bulked was bulked to produce the F3, from which C2 individual plants per cross were randomly harvested in 2009 to produce progeny rows. The progeny rows were planted in a randomized complete block design with two replications at two sites in Stoneville, Mississippi during 2010 and 2012. Data was collected on gene energy requirement, gene rate, 1%, and estimation of broadcent heritability, variance components, genotypic and phenotypic correlations, and selection responses were made in this attempt. And the result shows that again, at broad sense heritability, 1% had a very high broad sense heritability in both crosses, 61.61 and 0.76, followed by net gene energy 0.38, 0.31, and finally gene rate, which has 0.16 and 0.15 broad sense heritability. And the genetic advance from selection follows the same procedure, the same results there. Fiber seed attachment forces. This was measured with a modified SDL2 cotton seed attachment tester. And there was a pendulum involved there where the pendulum was raised and locked into position with a known amount of energy. And a cartridge was placed in the path of the pendulum, which holds the cotton, the seed cotton, you know, or the seed, and the pendulum was dropped. And when it cuts that attachment area, the seed from the cotton, then it measures the energy. So the fiber bundle was weighed, and fiber seed attachment was determined by dividing the energy of the shearing the bundle by the fiber weight of the sample. And this is what the pendulum looks like. The pendulum was raised from here, you see, the guy is holding it there, and the cotton is held with a clamp there, where you strike the cotton and the seed, and when you release the pendulum, it just and comes and works it here, separates the seed from the cotton, and then the energy is measured by the meter that is applied to that. So we call this fiber seed attachment force, and this was done basically by the Jining group. Now, if you combine all the things I've said so far into one table, this is what you see. We have a few cultivar seeds, some of them are transgenic, some are not. But if you look across, what you see is, like, for example, phytogen 72, it has high fiber seed attachment force. So because of that, it has the net gene stand energy is high, the gening rate is kind of low, and then the first percent is very high. If you go down and look at the naked seed varieties, you see that the fiber seed attachment force is low, the net gene stand energy is very low, which is good, and then the gene rate is kind of high, and the first percent is the lowest. So there is a connection between these threads. I mean, the gene rate, net gene energy, and gene stand rate, and the first percent. The molecular study, we just started this last year, and this is handled by the Dr. Fang's group in New Orleans. So whereas this is still a work in progress, we have taken the leaf samples and did the DNA extraction, and they're working on it now. And there are two crosses made here. One is MD52 with MD25 for gene rate, because MD52 gene like 2.87 grams per lint, which is kind of low, whereas MD25 gene 3.45 gram lint per second, which is kind of high. So that's why we cross these two parents, extreme parents, to generate, you know, polymorphism. Then the TAM-182-34-ALS was crossed with Arkansas-76 because TAM-182 required 11.2 watt-hour per gram of lint, which is high, with Arkansas-93-17-26, which is an accredited variety, so the energy requirement is quite low, 7.18 watt-hour per gram of lint. So we took 288 F3 progeny rows derived from individual F1 plant for each cross along with the parents, were planted in replicators at Stoneville, Mississippi, for phenotyping, for gene rate, gene stand energy, first percent, and quality traits. Again, we have to go to the F3 progeny rows, because from the F2 individual plant, there is no way you can find from individual plants 350 grams of seed cotton. So I had no choice but to go to the F3. And it doesn't really, since we don't do any selection in the middle there, it doesn't really affect the outcome. The parents have been found to be polymorphic for the traits, and the population are being genotyped with polymorphic markers momentarily. And if you look at the F3 distribution, there it's really polymorphic, because you see, for example, for the gene energy requirement, you see the two parents here as extreme, and you see in the center you see all these variations. The same thing with gene rate, even though it's not as high as this one, you see the parents are here and the segregants. For the first percent again, you see how polymorphic the trait is. So this has been ascertained. This has been done by the molecular group in New Orleans. So there is polymorphism within these traits. So the final thing we are doing now is we are trying to cross this trait, since we have some understanding of it, not many, but enough to start a breeding program. So last year, for the first time, we made the first crosses, trying to transfer this gene into the quality high-yielding varieties. And the F1 of these crosses are grown in the greenhouse at Stoneville at the moment. So don't be surprised, like 3-4 years down the line, we'll register a germplasm which is high quality, high yield, but at the same time requires less energy to gene and genes faster. Energy is not a simple issue, because especially gas might be cheaper today, but I don't think it will last that long. So the energy issue is something that we should be concerned about, and developing genotypes involving this trait into advanced lines, we think will put the cotton production in this country on a competitive edge with the international market. So in summary, enough genetic variability exists for gene efficiency in cultivated cultivars. High heritability and genetic advance from selection for this threat, we have proven that. genotype with low fibrosis attachment force requires less energy to gene and gene faster. And finally, phosphor set can be used for selecting gene efficiency lines. It is cheaper, easier, and faster to measure. Thank you.
That's what I have to say. We got time for maybe just one question.
Yes, sir.
Your gene efficiency is translated into less damage to fiber.
Yeah. Yes, sir. I think I someone kind of indicated this at the beginning. The lines that gene faster and require less energy have less short fiber, less naps, so the fiber damage is much, much less. That's another added advantage. The only problem we have now is that correlation, positive correlation between fiber length, fiber strength, and the net gene energy. That means when you have higher lengths, higher strengths, which we want, then the energy automatically goes up. So how do you work on that negative relationship? It's just like yield and fiber strength, you know. I've been working on it for so many years to reduce that linkage. And here again is another challenge for breeders to work on that relationship.
We'll have to save any further questions.
Sorry, Jennifer. Okay.
Thank you very much.